Chartering the Future of the Maine Public Broadcasting Network. Mark Vogelzang has been on the job as president and CEO of MPBN for about 6 weeks now. He brims with enthusiasm and commitment to public service media and is happy to share his vision. But he is also well aware of the uncertainty and challenges in funding public radio and television. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk with Mark Vogelzang about the future of MPBN. We'll explore his views on local programming, state funding, the role of public media on the spectrum, and more. You, of course, are part of that conversation. We want to hear from you. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet @MaineCalling, message us on Facebook, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. And Mark Vogelzang, welcome so much to Maine Calling. And we will get to viewer and listener questions in just a minute. But first, I wanted to ask you a few questions myself. Mark, why did you take the job? What appealed to you about MPBN in Maine?
Jennifer, it's a terrific place. I've known a lot about Maine over the years, observing it from afar. As a fellow New Englander, I spent nearly 20 years in Vermont running Vermont Public Radio, and I've always had a great affinity for it. And every time we'd come to Maine, it was a real sense of what a neat place this is. And when someone suggested that I should take a look at this job that was opening up after a terrific job that Jim Dow had done for MPBN as our just outgoing retiring president, I said, you know what, this is really interesting. So I put my hat in the ring, and through the search process, one of the things you learn about an organization is what type of what the character of the organization is. And I learned a lot about MPBN through this process. I learned that it has a great board of directors. It was thorough. It conducted a very deep and wide search. The staff was engaged and involved. All of those things led me, reinforced what others had said to me about MPBN and coming to Maine. Now, having said that, I know very little about the state of Maine. I know, I don't know where towns are, and I don't know where places are. I'm learning. And that's part of the fun of coming to a place for the first time.
What are some of your broad goals at this point for this organization?
I would say, broadly getting to know the place and the people and the communities. Every place is special. Every place has a unique story to tell, and people are here for a reason in this corner of New England. There's a great heritage here, the maritime heritage, the connection to Canada, the connection to, we're all part of Red Sox Nation. That's fun and something that I'm happy about. But broad goals would be, yes, getting to know the state. The second goal probably would be helping the organization understand what we should be doing in the next 3 to 5 to 10 years. We're right on the cusp of a strategic plan. I hope we'll be able to talk about that a little bit later on. The board of directors, my bosses, the people who I report to, come from a really wide range of organizations, including the colleges and the university institution, the state, because the state has a role in who's on our board. I think most importantly is figuring out the financial future for MPBN, because we're struggling in a situation where last year we had some significant pushback from state funding, about state funding, and we have to figure out what the future looks like for us as well in that area. And then finally, I guess, programming, what to do about what new programming we can offer. Both on television, radio, and especially online. There's so much great opportunity in the digital online world that I'm excited to explore for MPBN.
You mentioned programming. As you look at what MPBN's doing now, what are your impressions of that? What do you like that MPBN is doing?
Well, a deep commitment to journalism. a longstanding tradition of journalists on radio and television that has been part of the DNA of this organization for a long time. Main Things Considered at 5:30 every night has been on the air for 20, 30 years. You know, it is a longstanding part of what makes MPB and radio go. On the same side, your show, Main Watch, and the community films, and our partnerships, I would say, with the PBS and NPR service, the mission of MPBN with NPR coming alongside with NPR and PBS. There are challenges with all of those things, but I think those are sort of core strengths and one of the things why I was excited about the programming here on MPBN.
I'm interested to learn about your time spent on the NPR Board of Directors. What kind of lessons you'll bring from that time down here to, you know, a strong local station as opposed to sort of the bird's eye view on a national level?
Years ago, someone said to me, you know, Mark, the action is not in Washington. The action for public broadcasting is at the stations. And I've held on to that. That's so true. I've found it over and over again. It's not so much being at headquarters, if you will, or being at CPB or NPR or PBS. It's really about being a good community place where you're grounded in the resources and the friendships and the goodwill of a particular region, whether that region is Vermont, where I was for a number of years, or most recently Buffalo, New York, where I was station manager of the NPR station there. So that would be one lesson, is stay grounded in your community because that's where the strength comes from. I think with National Public Radio, my years on the NPR board, I got to see a lot of organizations and governance structures that worked well and some that didn't. I saw organizations that could have improved had they had the right leadership or the right or sometimes they were just held back because of the structure of the way they were. I think those things are not the case here. I think we have a really amazing both infrastructure. I mean, we have 7 radio stations across the state, 5 television stations. And I'm sure the technical guys will tell me that there's probably more that I don't know about, but I'm eager to, you know, go all the way up to Fort Kent and beyond, and I want to, you know, see all of the places and all the communities that we serve. So,
you know, you talk about the action at being at the local stations, and I think anybody who is a listener or a viewer and any employee here at MPBN would agree with you. One of the things I know that every PBS station and every NPR local station struggles with is the balance between local content and then just, you know, buying something that's from the national feed.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about your thoughts on that, the balance. How much of our television, for example, or our radio should be locally generated content, and how much should be the national content?
I think it's both. I mean, people come to us because we offer Ken Burns, but we also offer Main Watch. People come to us because we offer high school basketball, but also because we have Antiques Roadshow. It's not a one or the other kind of a situation. Now, that's television, of course, and it's the same thing. People tune to us because they want to hear what Irwin has to say in the morning during Morning Edition, but we all want to know what's going on around the world. We're kind of citizens of the world. Yes, we're based here in this one geographic location. So it's, you know, I'll actually amend what you said about buying programs from our network. I would say that we invest and we partner with NPR and PBS to produce programming both here, which is the local regional piece, and with NPR and PBS and others to give us the national and international perspective. That's the connection, I would say.
I want to get to a lot more questions from our listeners and our viewers in just a minute. But one question that came in on from our Facebook page is a question that I think leads into a broader conversation. So this is from Jim. He says, why do we have classical music taking up time where other NPR stations have timely news programs? And I think what this leads into is a conversation about the kind of things stations are doing nationally, making a choice between music and news, or like we have done up to this point at least, balancing music and news and public affairs.
Well, we've balanced it because we're trying to serve a lot of different audiences. Obviously, we have a lot of great classical music and terrific people in and hosts who do wonderful classical music. We present the opera every day and have for years, the Metropolitan Opera. But there's only so many hours in a day. And if you think about offering, you know, like the comment here, someone who wants more news and information on MPBN radio and is frustrated when we're doing music. And I'm sure the exact opposite is true. Somebody who loves music, wants it on all the time, can't get enough because we're busy doing programs like this that you and I are doing right now. We're interrupting somebody who would really rather be having music presented by MPBN Radio.
Well, when you were at Vermont Public Radio, you came up with a solution to this. And so I'm interested in what you did there and whether you think that might be a template for something to do here in Maine.
It could be, and I'm not presuming anything, but what we did there is, and I was there almost 20 years, where we over the years gradually started thinking about having a full-time classical music service. And we eventually executed that and built that network where there was a separate classical music network serving the majority of the citizens of Vermont. And the primary channel, the original channel, the first network of Vermont Public Radio, is dedicated to news and information. And there's a whole wide range of great programming from NPR and PRI and BBC that we can't offer in live in real time. For example, Diane Rehm right now is on a 2 o'clock
delay, right?
on a delay, yeah. And there are programs that we'd love to be able to offer, but that's always a balancing act that Charles Beck, as our vice president for content, really has to struggle with. So yes, could there be more options? Absolutely. Is it technically feasible? Sure. Is it financially able to do it? That's the big question.
I want to ask you, you've been here now 6 weeks, and I know, Mark, I've followed some of the things you've been doing since you've been in Maine. You have traveled this state in a way that I think many people who have lived in Maine for years and years haven't traveled. You've met a lot of people. So far, any surprises? Is there anything you've learned about this state that maybe you didn't expect or has already changed your views a little bit?
It's a long way to drive to between here, and I haven't even been up to for example, Eagle Lake or Madawaska or you know, over and down east. I did have a conversation with Representative Martin from the far north, and he said, you know, it takes 4 hours for him to get to Augusta as a representative, and I haven't been there yet, so. I need to explore more parts of Maine because I know each county, each region is different. What I have discovered is a deep sense of pride in the communities that are there, whether it's a coastal community or a puppet theater or a community theater or an arts organization that serves a community. There's a great sense of pride in each one of the communities that I've talked to. I have to say I've spent most of my time wandering around the state house in Augusta, getting to know our representatives and our senators and the folks on the administration side. So I'm eager to do more, and the weather has cooperated. I haven't been in too many snowstorms. I've driven in a few tough drives late at night or during blizzards, but not too bad. So far, it's been really fun.
And what about the impression that you're hearing from people about MPBN? What are people telling you they want from the Maine Public Broadcasting Network?
Well, I hope we get a chance to take some phone calls, and that's one of the reasons why I was eager to do this. But the other piece is I think there's a deep well of goodwill that I think people have toward MPBN. I mean, you know, fabulous programming like Downton Abbey and All Things Considered and Weekend Edition and Wait, Don't Tell Me and other programs that we all love. That's good. I also think that people are hoping that we can break free of a cycle where we're doing less and instead maybe they want us to do more. They have high hopes and ambitions for MPBN. I know the staff does. I know our board does. So that's what I've been hearing.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to hear from you, your comments and questions. The email address is talk@mpbn.net, tweet @MaineCalling. You can post a comment to our Facebook page or give us a call. The phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566.
Wake up and live. Don't mind the rainy patter. And you will find it's mind over matter. Dark clouds will break up if you just wake up and live.
It took a long time for Catherine Russell to go from backup singer to solo performer, but we're lucky she finally did. On the next Fresh Air, Russell performs songs from her new album. Join us.
Come out of your shell. Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock.
I'm Ray Suarez. Coming up on America Abroad.
The $65 million question is, are we going to be ready if this power succession doesn't work?
As a new leader takes the reins in North Korea, what comes next? After Kim Jong-il, America and the two Koreas, on the next America Abroad from Public Radio International.
America Abroad, tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
All right, you're back with Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. On today's program, questions and comments for the CEO and president of the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, Mark Vogelzang. He is here with me in the studio. He is now in his second month here at MPBN. We're going to go to our first caller now. This is Benjamin from Norway. Benjamin, go ahead.
Hi. Hello, Mr. CEO.
Hello. Call me Mark, please.
Yes. The man who answered the phone told me not to start where I wanted to. So,
what would you like? We're wide open.
Oh, okay, good enough.
But you just have to keep it short, I guess.
I'm kind of addressing you as an immigrant, and I think a terrible mistake was made. A couple of years ago by trying to shut down the northern transmitters.
Yeah, okay.
I think you're going to run into ethnic and class divisions here that you didn't encounter in Vermont. And all I really have to add is that, to paraphrase the New York Times, the BBC coverage, I consider all the news that's fit to skip. It would be nice to bridge the class divide and have some blues or country and western or classical music on in the wee hours.
All right, so overnight, no BBC, but rather jazz. Now, I will say about transmitters, I think a couple of years ago that was one of the cost-cutting issues that we raised, and you know, I think an organization when an organization thinks about these sorts of things, it has to try to see where the right decision is. I'm a broadcaster. I think that transmitter should stay on. It's probably our most cost-effective way of meeting the needs of a rural area. The challenge is how do we pay for that? And whether it's blues programming, as you said, or BBC or classical overnight. And that's a challenging decision to make programmatically, but I and BBC may not be your cup of tea, Benjamin. But I do hope that you'll be sort of stay with us to see how we answer that question. Maybe there's a little bit more news coming your way. Maybe there's a little bit more music coming your way. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Benjamin. We're going to go now to Connie. Connie from Elliott. Connie, go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi there. I wanted to share the fact that I very much value the lectures at 1 o'clock, particularly the speaking in Maine, but also the programs that reflect the what's going on in the rest of the world. And I happen to be one of the people who loves the music, and I was very pleased when a few years ago when the opera almost was taken away that it was affirmed.
Yep.
So thank you very much. You do a great job, and I appreciate MPBN very much.
Connie, let me ask you a question. Where is Elliott? Help me out.
Very, right next to Portsmouth and Kittery.
Oh, okay. So you can get New Hampshire Public Radio.
I have lots of choices.
Oh, good. Good for you. And
so, when I get tired of the talk programs on Maine Public Radio, I listen to 99.5, of which is all music.
That's WGBH out of, or WCRB out of Boston. Yeah, exactly. And do you watch much public TV? And do you have any comments for me on public TV?
I watch a lot of. That's the only television I watch, and I appreciate the local programming as well as the what's on the bigger, you know, PBS and the rest of the offerings.
Super. That's great. Thank you so much.
Well, Connie, thank you so much for calling in with your positive energy. I like that. We're going to go now to Jay from Auburn. Jay, you are on Maine Calling.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, Jay. I do know where Auburn is. Our offices are over in Lewiston, and I've had some great trips around your terrific lake there.
Great. My question is pertaining to the MPB auction.
Yeah, the auction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a volunteer for 10 years, and I supported MPBN for 20 years, and I was wondering what they plan on doing to replace the funding that provided, and what other maybe volunteer opportunities would be available now that is not an outlet.
Huh. Well, I don't know too much about the past with auction. I do know that has been a challenge and a trend that has gone on not just here in Maine but across PBS stations around the country. Auctions are incredibly time-consuming and really, really take up a lot of airtime that viewers really would prefer not to necessarily have interrupted. That being said, as a volunteer, what you just expressed is, you know, how can I volunteer more? How can I stay close to the organization? So we have to figure out ways of engaging folks like you, Jay, who love what we did with auction. The reason why this was the right time for MPBN to finish the auction is we had a longtime staff person who was the head of the auction retire, so that sort of seemed to be the perfect or make the most sense to gracefully bow out of the auction business. And on the other hand, the challenge of replacing that $250,000 or more of income that came from the auction. Now, we don't have the expenses much anymore, but we do have to replace nearly $250,000. So that's going to put more pressure on things like membership drives and for everybody to kick in a little bit more. So you'll hear me often say, maybe you could do a monthly gift. Maybe you could pledge 20% more than what you're currently giving to help MPBN make up the difference. Does that make sense for you, Jay?
Yeah, I guess so from that perspective. But I'm not in a position to donate financially. But we very much enjoyed the volunteer part of it. So.
I see. Yeah, that makes of course, volunteering is a perfectly wonderful and. We'll see if we can figure out more ways to get you involved as a volunteer again. Okay, Jay? Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yep, my pleasure.
And thank you so much, Jay, for calling. For those of you who may have missed the phone number, it is 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Our guest here on Maine Calling today is MPBN's new CEO, Mark Vogelzang. Mark, we're going to go to somebody named Michael in Friendship who says he knows you from your WHYY days. And Michael, go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi, nice to
Michael Cooney here.
Hi, Michael. And tell me where Friendship, Maine is.
Well, it's about an hour and a half up the coast from Portland.
Okay.
A little south of Camden Rockport.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Down at the end of one of those peninsulas.
Uh-huh. Good. Well, what should I know about Friendship, and what do you have as far as questions for me about MPBN or suggestions?
Well, I remember when Prairie Home Companion first began. It actually started as a 6 to 9 a.m. morning show.
Sure. Garrison did a morning show in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And he did. He played all kinds of music and did his funny faux commercials, et cetera.
Yeah.
And people who liked classical music complained so much that KSJN rented parallel time on another station for those 3 hours.
They eventually bought a whole other network to build it out to a classical and then one news and information.
Yeah. And so I always thought, well, that's a possibility. But also, I wanted to ask you, would it ever be possible for MPBN to create a program such as WHYY did with Fresh Air to sell to the rest of the public radio world?
Well, I happen to be at HYY, as you probably are suggesting, back when Fresh Air was a local show, and we brought that out to be a national show. But remember, back in the late 1980s, there was no kind of national distribution network. We had NPR, of course, but we did not have the infrastructure of a lot of national shows. So Fresh Air coming on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon was something that was different. There was no national shows on at 3 o'clock that were distributed. So Terry had a perfect opportunity. But now there's a huge challenge for stations. There's two versions of daily talk shows. Tom Ashbrook does his show from 10 a.m. to noon. Diane Rehm does her show from WAMU from 10 a.m. to noon.
I'm not thinking specifically of talk shows, just a really interesting show that people would really...
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. That would be a wonderful thing, but it's a challenge to find both that mix of talent and then availability. I think you'll see my focus being much more on nurturing what we do have. I want to invest in our programming that we do have. We've got fabulous talent from Suzanne Nance to our weekend and our music shows that I think we could do more with on our network.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks so much, Michael. I'm going to go to a couple Facebook questions here, email questions. This is from Bill Mark. He says, as the only TV network that covered Governor LePage's State of the State address, would you comment on his statements regarding tote bags and funding?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was very kind of the governor to recognize that MPBN was broadcasting his address, the State of the State, and has been for years. Whoever is in the administration, who's in that position, we are the only broadcaster that can pull this off and do it the way we did with live radio, live television, and live online streaming statewide to be heard by almost every citizen. And I think that's a remarkable fact, and I appreciate the fact that the governor recognized that. Now, obviously, he philosophically and for political purposes and for – I'm not suggesting for political purposes, but for budget purposes, he has made it clear that he doesn't want to have more funding come toward MPBN. But I think he left room for us to have a discussion. We're certainly doing that with the administration. We're having a discussion with our legislative friends both on both sides of the aisle about the funding for MPBN and how that appropriation should work and look. What any organization wants out of its structure is you want consistency. If we knew that we could count on something in the future, whether it's less or more, then in my role and the board of directors' role, we could plan. The most challenging thing is if you just didn't know what it was. In this case, last year, we went through this really terrible, and I think it was both positive, but it was also difficult, where we were faced with a sudden loss of $2 million. And that can throw an organization into upheaval. And yet, thankfully, to many of you, listeners, viewers, friends, board, staff, everybody stood up and said, we need MPBN to be funded. So now we're at a point where we're talking about funding in a more holistic way to say what's the best structure for MPBN to be supported by the state, because we offer amazing things to the state. We offer kids programming, hours and hours of small kids programming for absolutely no cost to parents who have no, maybe they can't support MPBN, but yet we offer this quality educational programming to young learners way before they start school. That there's a value to that. I don't know what that value is. MPBN offers a full coverage of something like 90% of all the citizens of Maine can hear the state government talk to it. Is that emergent in an emergency situation? That's worth something. The cultural programming, the news programming that we offer, all of those are valuable services that MPBN provides, and I think it's a good discussion point for going forward. So maybe I'm eager to talk to the governor, and I hope we can continue that discussion.
All right, Mark, we're going to take another short break. When we return, more of your comments and questions for Mark Vogelzang, the CEO and president of the Maine Public Broadcasting Network. Please stay with us.
Join us this evening at 8 o'clock on MPBN Television for American Experience. Tonight, The Survivor, the conclusion of the Bill Clinton biography, which recalls the Monica Lewinsky scandal, which led to Clinton becoming the second U.S. president to be impeached. It also details his face-off over the federal budget with Newt Gingrich. Our full television schedule is available on our website, mpbn.net. Join us today at 1 o'clock on MPBN Radio for Alternative Radio. Cultural historian Morris Berman, the author of Twilight of American Culture, Dark Ages America, and Why America Failed. That's Alternative Radio, today at 1 o'clock on MPBN Radio. You can also find listings of our 1 o'clock programs on our website, mpbn.net.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you are listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network. Today on the program, the new president and CEO of the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, Mark Vogelzang. The phone number to call us is 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Email talk at mpbn.net or post to our Facebook page. We have several callers waiting to talk to Mark. So we're going to go to Arthur in Jonesboro. Arthur, you are on the air.
Hi, Arthur.
Hi, Mark. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yes, this is Arthur Hill. I'm an associate professor of speech communications at the University of Maine at Machias.
Oh, good.
And I'm also on the University of Maine Healthcare Task Force.
I've not been to Machias, but now you've taught me how to pronounce it properly, so that's good.
Right. That's a good thing. I just want to comment on the PBS special that you aired at 3:30 this last Sunday.
Yeah, I know about that.
T.R. Reid, and it's a healthcare special that offers solutions to the problems that the entire country is having now, especially the solution of, you know, Grand Junction, Colorado, which has the lowest healthcare costs. And my suggestion is this, that you repeat it in prime time, say maybe even substitute it for an antiques roadshow. This is so vital to the people of Maine to get what T.R. Reid is saying.
I totally agree with you. I've actually seen the T.R. Reid earlier specials about healthcare in other countries, and I think this is a very important subject. We did broadcast it, and Sunday afternoon actually is not a bad time. I mean, a lot of people do watch TV on Sunday afternoon, as we know. And we have and will continue to run it in a series of repeats on our two other channels, the World Channel and as on our other services. So take a look at that, and I'll also ask our staff to see if there's a place that we can rerun it again. So it's a good suggestion, Arthur. It originally ran on Thursday night at 9 o'clock, or was supposed to run or suggested by PBS to run it Thursday night at 9 o'clock, and it's not part of the core PBS programming service. And so we chose to do it at Sunday afternoon at 3:30, but I still think it had a big audience.
Well, I hope it did, and thank you, and please repeat it again in prime time if you possibly can. I also think it's very wonderful that you have that third documentary channel where you can keep these things going. I can't say enough. I've read T.R. Reid's book on healthcare in Europe as it's practiced, and this gives us solutions for the problems that we're experiencing right here in Maine.
Good. I'm eager to come up to Machias, and I hope we can meet at some point, and you'll introduce yourself to me.
I will indeed,
thanks.
Mark.
Thanks.
Arthur, I'm going to wrap you up so we can get some more callers. Thanks so much for calling. And we're going to go now to Erica in Thomaston. Erica, go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, Erica.
Hi. This is Erica.
Yeah.
I'm in Thomaston, Midcoast, Maine.
Uh-huh.
And I listen to your program. Actually, I don't listen to any other radio station but MPBR. MPBN?
Well, you can say NPR. MPBR, too. That's fine. But it's MPBN.
I call it NPR, so.
Well, we're both. We have that wonderful dual identity. We are your NPR station, and we're MPBN. So that's cool.
And I want to emphasize, you, I hope and pray you will stay as my BBC station. I heard a gentleman earlier say he didn't like BBC. I turn my radio on at midnight when I go to bed. I mean, if I wake up and I say it's 12 or 1 o'clock, I turn it on.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I can listen to the BBC. And I did that one night, and I listened, and I happened to hear an interview with Louise Rainey at 102 years of age.
Well, and you know, it is a remarkable news-gathering source, and it's an international news-gathering source that gives us a different perspective than we might get from a domestic news service. I've always liked the BBC.
Yeah. If you ever discontinue the BBC, I will be heartbroken.
No, I think what we would probably try to do, and to get to Benjamin's piece about the BBC, what we might be able to do is offer more services on the radio. And Thomaston is, I know about Thomaston because it's the home of our news director and host of Maine Calling, Keith Shortall.
Yes, it is.
So Keith is a rock star in Thomaston.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know his wife, but I don't know Keith. His wife is with the Friends of the Thomaston Library, as am I, and I run a film series there every Friday night.
It's a small town, sounds like, and a good one.
It is a very good town.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful town.
Erica, thanks for your call. That's great.
With the BBC and also with your forum calls and stuff, I listen to those all the time.
Got it. We'll do this call-in show again at some point, I'm sure.
I think that's an important thing to mention, Mark, because we have so many people who want to ask you questions. Thank you so much, Erica, for calling. I'm going to sort of summarize a couple different emails that have come in. One person feels as though we skew our coverage, specifically our weather coverage, to southern Maine. Somebody else here, Jody from Jonesboro, has just said that she really appreciates that you want to reach out to the rural parts of Maine. I think people are looking for a commitment to rural Maine. Is that
absolutely
something?
Absolutely. I grew up in a very small town in Iowa. We were 5 hours away from the state capital and, you know, not a whole lot of options for us. And I relied on my the community people. You had to figure out the weather. We didn't have NPR back then. And once I discovered it, I knew I had to work at an NPR station. But we do, I understand how important the weather is, both for our, the farming economy, the fishermen and the marine economy. Everybody counts on MPB and wants a quick chance to hear that. So we're going to continue. I'm impressed with the quality of our weather forecasting and our weather reporting that I'm hearing from all the different folks, Lou McNally and others. And I think we can do more in that area, but that's a good reminder that we need to stay connected to the entire state. But, you know, from Portland to Fort Kent, you know, it's important.
Thanks so much. And we're going to go now to Bob from Mount Vernon. Bob, you are on the air with Mark Vogelzang on Maine Calling.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mark, and welcome.
Thanks.
I have what will not be a particularly nice call. I don't contribute to National Public Radio. I mean, Maine Public Radio. I've contributed mm-hmm. to as many as 4 radio stations. Used to live in Massachusetts in my history. I am a firm supporter of public radio. However, when I contribute my $35, I find that for the rest of the year, I am solicited further to either increase or somehow or other get more money out of me. Now, I know you have the green option online, but you don't have it in the snail mail world.
Okay.
And I want to contribute my money and have it go to programming or whatever you need the money for.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be following up and soliciting more money for me.
You're just like you're an answer to my dream last night. You're like, ooh, this is great.
Well, it must have been something of a nightmare.
No, look, all organizations, all nonprofit organizations want to continually ask and make sure that we have, listeners and supporters who support the mission. So thank you for doing that in the past. You should be able to be a member and not have us hassle you or bother you for more money.
I've tried even writing, I've tried calling, I've tried to call you off on that one, your station.
Yeah.
It has had no effect whatever.
Okay, well, we'll do a better job, I promise you this, but let me suggest you do something. When was the last time you gave to MPBN?
Maybe 2 years ago.
Okay,
now.
And how long had you been giving $35 to MPBN?
Oh.
For years, right?
For years,
okay.
Right.
So think about the cost of living increase. So maybe you should start at $50 this time?
If I did and there was no follow-up, that would be, as long as my pledge is honored for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, if I give in January, you come and call me next January, I'll renew.
Okay.
But if I get mailings every month, which it seems like I do, then I'm thinking that my contribution is just being used to chase more money from me.
Well, there's certainly costs involved in raising money, but it's broader. You know, we have 45,000 members, so it's really important for us to continue to ask our members and engage our members. But if you don't want to be called or you don't want to be bothered, that's fine. And let me do this. Why don't you write to me? Just drop me a note. It's mvogelzang@mpbn.net. And I'll steer you over to our fabulous development department, our membership department, and they'll get you settled.
What's your last name?
It's Jennifer. Why don't you give my email address?
MVOGELZANG. Test for my new boss. How did I do?
MPBN.net.
MPBN.net.
I cannot. I don't have a computer. I just.
Oh.
Okay, we'll take care of it, and if not, you can call our toll-free number, our service people, and tell them you were on the air now and that you want to make a contribution and ask for membership, and they'll hook you up. But make sure that you let me know that you've done this, and that way I can, you know, sort of stay on top of it so that we do it right, okay?
Thank you very much.
And I apologize for what we've done wrong in the past.
No apology necessary.
Okay.
It costs a lot to run the station.
Good.
Run a good station.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you so much, Bob. Couple more calls. We're going to go to Don in Tennant's Harbor. Don, you are on the air.
Thanks, Jennifer. And Mark, congratulations on your position.
Thank you.
I just want to compliment MPB Dan to the classical music in the morning. It doesn't get any better than Suzanne Nance. I've come from Philadelphia in 2001. I got here, and this station is just the TV and the radio. It just doesn't get any better than this. I don't know. You can fine-tune a little bit more, but Downton Abbey and William and Mary and the series and the travel things on the weekend, you know, what can you do but just fine-tune it a little more?
Yeah.
I appreciate it very much.
Don, thank you. That's very, very kind of you. I'm glad you listen to classical music. Could you, do you also listen to classical music on, isn't there another station? Classical music?
It doesn't compare with Suzanne Nance. I mean, she's an educational source.
She is.
Unbelievable.
Well,
I come from Philadelphia, and the people there were good, but not as good as she. She's just incredible.
I believe you're absolutely right.
The other programming is Downton Abbey has just been fantastic, and to run it twice like that, it's excellent.
Thanks.
And then the other channel, 183, I have the World Channel. I can watch it again. But I'm not really a TV person. I'm an artist, a painter. But if when I sit down to eat or have a meal, I have the nightly news, and it just doesn't get any better than this.
Don, we really, really appreciate your call, but unfortunately, you're the last caller, and we have to say goodbye to you. But boy, I could listen to you talk about us all day. Thank you so much for calling
Thanks, Don.
In. And Mark, thank you for joining us here today. Mark Vogelzang, the new president and CEO of the Maine Public Broadcasting Network. Mark, as you heard earlier in the conversation, served on the NPR Board of Directors from 2001 to 2008, and for 16 years was CEO of Vermont Public Radio. Today's program was produced by Jonathan Smith and Keith Shortall. John Keimel ran the board, and we had help from Rich Tozier and the MPBN web team. You can listen to this conversation and previous editions of Maine Calling by visiting mpbn.net. Click the radio tab. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Let's do it again. Okay, Jennifer?
I'd love to.
Okay. Bye-bye.